Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapters 2 and 3. In these two chapters, we have Solomon's preparations and construction of the temple of the Lord. Let's begin by reading chapter 2. Then Solomon determined to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal house for himself. Solomon selected 70,000 men to bear burdens, 80,000 to quarry stone in the mountains, and 3,600 to oversee them. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, king of Tyre, saying, "As you have dealt with David, my father, and sent him cedars to build himself a house to dwell in, so deal with me. Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the temple which I build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods. But who is able to build him a temple, since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a temple, except to burn incense before him? Therefore send me at once a man skillful to work in gold and silver and bronze and iron and purple and crimson and blue, who has skill to engrave with the skillful men who are with me in Judah and Jerusalem, whom David my father provided. Also send me cedar and cypress and algum logs from Lebanon, for I know that your servants have skill to cut timber in Lebanon, and indeed my servants will be with your servants, to prepare timber for me in abundance, for the temple which I am about to build shall be great and wonderful. And indeed I will give to your servants, the woodsmen who cut timber, 20,000 cores of ground wheat, 20,000 cores of barley, 20,000 baths of wine, and 20,000 baths of oil." Then Hiram, king of Tyre, answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, "Because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them." Hiram also said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who made heaven and earth, for he has given King David a wise son, endowed with prudence and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a royal house for himself. And now I have sent a skillful man endowed with understanding, Hiram, my master craftsman, the son of a woman of the daughters of Dan, and his father was a man of Tyre, skilled to work in gold and silver, bronze and iron, stone and wood, purple and blue, fine linen and crimson, and to make any engraving and to accomplish any plan which may be given to him with your skillful men and with the skillful men of my lord David, your father. Now therefore, the wheat, the barley, the oil, and the wine, which my Lord has spoken of, let him send to his servants. And we will cut wood from Lebanon, as much as you need. We will bring it to you in rafts by sea to Joppa, and you will carry it up to Jerusalem." Let's begin our study of these chapters, 2 Chronicles chapters 2 and 3, with some background notes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we saw the good start to King Solomon's reign. And then we saw in chapter 1, that when the Lord said to Solomon that he could ask for anything that he wanted, Solomon chose wisdom. This was a great choice, and God was pleased. Wisdom is more than mere knowledge. Knowledge is the accumulation of truth in one's mind, whereas wisdom is the application of truth to one's life. Now in chapter 2 of 2 Chronicles, we have Solomon's continuing preparations for the building of the temple. And then in chapter 3, we have the actual construction of the temple. Now, when we compare some of the details given in these chapters with the parallel accounts in 1 Kings chapter 6 and 7, we notice that there are some differences that must be explained. Most of these differences can be harmonized when all the biblical data is examined, but for some others, there is evidence of slight changes when the manuscripts were copied by scribes along the way. The original documents that were inspired by the Holy Spirit had no scribal mistakes. But the hundreds of scribes who copied the handwritten manuscripts for hundreds of years before the printing press were not inspired and were not perfect. In any case, the apparent discrepancies in Scripture have a number of different ways that they can be harmonized. When we get to heaven, we can check out these minor matters more fully. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Chronicles chapters 2 and 3. Doctrine point number one, there are spiritual lessons in the temple's preparation. There are spiritual lessons in the temple's preparation. In verse 6 of chapter 2, Solomon said of the Lord, "Who is able to build him a temple since heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a temple except to burn incense before him?" Here we have a great lesson concerning the transcendence of God on the one hand and his immanence on the other. When we say that God is transcendent, we mean that he is above and beyond and independent of and not confined to this material universe that he created. God is transcendent. When we say that God is immanent, we mean that God is present and continually involved in his creation, and he dwells in the midst of his people. The Bible teaches both the transcendence and immanence of God. Notice how Solomon recognized the transcendence and immanence of God in verse 6. Even the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, God's transcendence. And yet Solomon would burn incense before God in his temple, where God would dwell in the midst of his people, God's immanence. God is both transcendent and immanent. In verse 8, we have another spiritual lesson, a prophetic picture of the church, which is God's temple today. Solomon said to Hiram, king of Tyre, in verse 8, "And indeed my servants will be with your servants." Jews and Gentiles would be working together in harmony on the house of the Lord. What a great prophetic picture of the church, the body of Christ, which is made up of all believers, Jews and Gentiles united together in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. Illustration. You know, in the strife-ridden Middle East today, the proof of Christianity is to see Jewish and Arab believers having fellowship together as believers in Christ in spite of their political differences. The prophetic picture of the church, the body of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit is further enhanced in this chapter by the Jews and Gentiles sharing their skills and talents and exchanging food and timber, a wonderful picture of peace and harmony as it should be in the church. As Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Psalm 133, verse 1. So there are spiritual lessons in the temple's preparation. Doctrine point number 2. There are spiritual lessons in the temple's construction. There are spiritual lessons in the temple's construction. Let's read chapter 3, where we have the record of the construction. "Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second day of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. This is the foundation which Solomon laid for building the house of God. The length was 60 cubits by cubits according to the former measure, and the width 20 cubits. And the vestibule that was in front of the sanctuary was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the height was 120. He overlaid the inside with pure gold. The larger room he paneled with cypress, which he overlaid with fine gold, and he carved palm trees and chainwork on it. He also overlaid the house, the beams and doorposts, its walls and doors with gold, and he carved cherubim on the walls. And he made the most holy place. Its length was according to the width of the house, 20 cubits, and its width 20 cubits. He overlaid it with 600 talents of fine gold. In the most holy place, he made two cherubim fashioned by carving and overlaid them with gold. The wings of these cherubim spanned 20 cubits overall. They stood on their feet and they faced inward. And he made the veil of blue, purple, crimson, and fine linen and wove cherubim into it. Also, he made in front of the temple two pillars, 35 cubits high, and the capital that was on top of each of them was 5 cubits. Then he set up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left. He called the name of the one on the right hand, Jachin, and the name of the one on the left, Boaz. Notice from verse 1 of chapter 3 here that the temple was built in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. Remember, it was in this area that Abraham brought Isaac to the place of sacrifice in Genesis chapter 22. Now, the sculptured cherubim of verses 10 through 13 are not the cherubim that were part of the Ark of the Covenant that overlooked the mercy seat. No, these are much larger cherubim that were placed in the Holy of Holies to overlook the whole inner sanctuary. Now, what are some of the spiritual lessons from this chapter about the construction of the temple? I think we have a spiritual picture of the deity and humanity of our Lord in the gold-covered wood of the temple. As in the tabernacle, so in the temple, there are many types or spiritual pictures of Christ. All the wood was covered with gold. Gold speaks of the deity of Christ, while the wood speaks of his humanity. Psalm 1, verse 3 indicated that the perfect man would be like a tree planted by streams of water. Christ was the perfect man because he was God and man at the same time, certainly pictured in the gold-covered wood of the temple. Another spiritual lesson from 2 Chronicles chapter 3 comes to us from the names of the two pillars at the front of the temple in verse 17. Jachin means he will establish, and Boaz means in him is strength. Now, these are two pillars of great truth for the support of every believer in this life. As you look to the Lord, he will establish you and give you strength. He will establish you more and more in your faith and direction in this life, and he will give you strength for whatever he calls you to do. So we see that there are some wonderful spiritual lessons in the temple's construction. Practical application. Use your business deals as opportunities to witness for the Lord. Use your business deals as opportunities to witness for the Lord. King Hiram of Tyre did not start out as a believer, but maybe he became a believer in the one true God as a result of David and Solomon's testimony as they did business with Hiram. By the way, there are two Hirams in this chapter, Hiram the king of Tyre and Hiram the master craftsman. Notice how Solomon fearlessly witnessed to King Hiram in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 2. Let's read those verses once again. Behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God to dedicate it to him, and the temple which I build will be great, for our God is greater than all gods. This testimony had an effect, as we see in verses 11 and 12. Hiram also said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who made heaven and earth. The lesson for us is obvious. Use your business deals as opportunities to witness for the Lord. Your contacts in business may be the only contact some of these folks have with true believers. A faithful and honest and non-hypocritical testimony in the business world carries a lot of weight. So use your business deals as opportunities to witness for the Lord.